Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know.
And I do hope that you are all right. This is Jackie Wayans. I'm your host of Don't Give Up Radio. And we are here another week. We've made it through difficulties. We've made it through trials. We've made it through problems. And I want to tell you that that's no small thing. Every time that you face a challenge and you decided to take one extra step and go one extra moment, trusting that it was going to be okay, trusting that you are going to reach your goal and that you wouldn't give up. I'm telling you, it only makes you stronger. It makes you better prepared for where you're going. And I'm very thankful that you are here. And in this season, through Thanksgiving, through Christmas, it is a season that not everyone is happy. Not everyone has family. Not everyone feels loved. But I want you to know that you are loved, that the greatest hero of all gave his life for you. He said that you were worth it. And so because of that, you can embrace your life and you can embrace every day, even with the challenges. Now, we know that what's been going on in the world. There isn't anyone that isn't aware of what's going on in America. The protests, the injustice, the laws that are on the books. And sometimes you look at this and you think there's no way out, or there's no way to deal with it. Many of our young people, our family members, our friends have been arrested or incarcerated, caught up in the system in a way that doesn't allow them to integrate back into society, doesn't allow them to have the ability to live anywhere they want or to have any job that they want. And we are going to talk about that tonight. My guest is going to be joining us. Her name is Crystal Victoria. She is an author and founder of her own organization, and we'll learn all about how she was able to do that, because what's so interesting about this honor roll student from Texas is that she has been incarcerated twice, and yet she stands today completely free from the system. So if you're in that place or you know someone who is, and you're listening tonight, I want you to get them on the line. I want you to send them the link to this and really be empowered, because she has something very powerful to say. We're going to start by hearing her story and how she even got to the place that she was, and then let her just share with you the ways that you can get out of it. So, Victoria, Crystal, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Welcome. Crystal? Okay, we've got a little sound delay there. That's okay. We're going to get that moving in a little bit. And while we're working that out, one of the things that I would like to tell you about her first book is From the Street to the Skies and Beyond. And one of the things that's so powerful about this book, the fact that we all have beginnings. We all start from somewhere. And her beginning was very similar to mine. She was a only child. She is an only child of a single mom. I'm an only child of a single mom. And so you can have two people who start out pretty much looking the same in life and going through life, and then certain curveballs happen, certain things appear that makes you have twists and turns. And in her life, as in mine, we both endured a period of being bullied, of being teased, of being ridiculed by our friends. And I remember my mom, since she's from the island, one of the things that is very true is that when you come home and you kind of complain about the fact that you're being bullied or teased, you will hear something like this. Well, you know, sticks and stones might break your bones, but words will never hurt you. My mom actually said that to me. she would actually, you know, tell me that, you know, I go to school to get my education, and it didn't matter what anyone else around me said. And from an adult point of view, I can understand where she was coming from, but I was the one who had to go to school every day and get teased and bullied and my hair pulled and, you know, just that shriveling that happens inside of you when those things occur. And they can only happen for so many years before it has an effect on you. And for me, I went in one direction, and as you will hear from Crystal Victoria, for her, it went in a very different direction. But one of the things that's so beautiful about this show is we talk to you in both word and in song. So when she comes on, she's going to share the trajectory of her life, but the songs will also support that. So I'm going to do something a little differently tonight, and I'm going to start with Marvin Sapp, He Saw the Best in Me. Because as you listen to her story, what you're going to hear is what you heard a lot in the Michael Brown case. You know, people look at your flaws. They look at pieces of you that are not appealing. And we all have pieces of ourselves that are not appealing. But when it comes to the Lord, He sees the best in us. Everyone else around us, people, they will see what the flaws are. And some choose to magnify that, and some will come alongside you and support you. But in the end, it is up to you to align yourself with what God sees in you.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight that He saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one that got this testimony. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time, one more time? I said He saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could
only see
the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, He's mine, and I am His. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, He is mine, and I am. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, He only sees me for who I am. Help me sing it, yeah, girl. And that He is mine.
He's mine.
I'm His.
Said
it doesn't matter what I did.
raise your hand and witness tonight. That may be somebody else's testimony. Help me say it, help me say it.
He saw the best in me.
Everyone else around me.
Best. Only the Lord can see the best in us. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayne. So glad to be back with you. We have Crystal Victoria on the line. And, you know, as I set it up right before we went on break, the reality of her life was that she started, you know, as a very loving, intelligent, bright, happy young lady. And then a shift came as she went from public school, from private school into public school, and just experienced that rejecting and the teasing and the bullying that young people can often provide one another when you are different in some way. And so, Crystal, I just wanted to talk with you a bit and have you just dive right in as to how did that affect you? How did that begin to change you from that loving, you know, little girl that you were? What started to develop in your heart?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on the show, Jackie. I truly appreciate it. There was a lot of things that began to change, you know, going from private school to public school. And I think, you know, back then at that time in my life, it really depended on the parents and their interaction. And when other kids would see, you know, the fact that my parents cared, they cared. And going to public school, you're in there with everyone. And some people have good home training. Some people have good manners. Some people have good parents. Some people don't. And so being thrown into that melting pot with all different types of kids exposed me to a lot of behaviors and also cruelty that I wasn't familiar with, such as bullying, teasing, cruelty.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. You know, we're hearing some digital feedback on your phone line there, so I don't know if you can make some adjustments on your side so that we can get everything that you have to offer
okay.
us. So
just
now, that. Oh, that's fine. So I wanted to get a sense from you if you can kind of share a little bit of, you know, how you were targeted. And I wondered, you know, did that affect your self-esteem and how you saw yourself? Because, you know, I was sharing right before I went to the song that my mom would always say to me, you know, you're going to school for yourself, you're going to school, you know, for your education, don't worry about other people. But I know when we were talking, you said something very key, you know, when parents say to kids, you know, just be yourself, that
mm-hmm.
at that young age, you haven't really developed who that is yet. You know, can you
right.
talk to us more about that?
Yeah, and, you know, of course, that's, you know, every parent says that, and no one is particularly bad for telling your kids that. But instead of, you know, saying be yourself, you know, teach them what to be. Be kind, be loving, be helpful, be considerate. And help them learn what that means. And that's the only thing, you know, and my mom probably didn't know how to articulate. You know, our parents can only give us what they have.
Right.
And so, you know, when I started to find out, you know, going to school to be myself, or who is that? Well, at first, it was anybody. And I never was a follower type of kid. So I didn't too much latch on to and follow other people. I would just be myself, as goofy and crazy as that was. And also as I guess, naive as that was at the time, I would just be myself. And sometimes that caused me some issues. You know, people would take advantage of that.
Right, right. Because it's very easy to come into the world bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and loving and embracing everyone and not realizing that real hurts can come through the hands of other people. So when that started to sit in, I know for myself it went from elementary school to middle school, and sometimes the same people are following you from school to school. It's like you just can't get rid of them. How long did you with this process happening to you?
Oh, well, through high school. In high school, it got dramatically worse. I switched schools about 3 times. Twice in elementary, twice in middle school, and twice in high school, for 6 times then. And every school that I went to, I would switch for one reason or another. Well, the thing about it is, Denton is so small, it didn't matter because the same people that I dealt with and that I would run into outside of school were at one school or another. And so the issues were a little different because there was nowhere I could go to just really get away. It was just, you know, either I was going to deal with you at school or at home. And it wasn't necessarily at my house. It was just, you know, while we're, you know, enjoying our free time after school is over, I'm going to, and some of the friends that I hung out with would be that the reason for that, you know. It'd be a share of people I like, and then it would be some that I didn't like too much. And it's not that they were bad people. I just didn't too much care for them. So that was my difficulty. Even switching schools, you know, at the end of the day, you are everywhere you go. And I had to learn who I was, which came later.
Right. So now, how did you get to a point where you felt enough is enough with the teasing and the bullying? And if so, how did you manage that?
Yeah, I kind of became just as rude as the other kids around me, just to be able to withstand it. I would be rude and teasing and cruel and be a bit of a bully myself. Over time, you know, that seemed to serve me in getting out of school, just making it out. I don't at all condone that behavior with anybody, because it's some, at the same time, it made people hate me even more. It, at the end of the day, I really think that if I'd have just stuck to my guns, if I would have been stronger in my self-esteem and my character, then I would have been able to go on my own without worrying about the opinions and ideas and judgments of others. But I just wasn't that strong back then.
And I think that's, you know, putting a lot on yourself, because as you already said, with our parents who say to us, you know, just be yourself and ignore them, that's a character building skill that you get, one, from going through the very same experiences that you're going through, but it also mm-hmm. takes maturity and time. So in that process of time, I know you shared with me that in the ninth grade is when you really started to push back, and you know, even though you're extremely bright, very smart young lady in school, they also didn't really know what to do with you because you were absent most of the time, right? You were like a chronic
mm-hmm.
cutter.
Yeah, you know? A lot of times at school I wasn't there. And it wasn't because, I think I found out, that's my earring. Sorry, I'm going to snatch my earring out of my ear so you can hear me because I keep hearing something dangling. Okay, so here we go. I hated going to school, and I started skipping a lot, and it had nothing to do with grades or school being hard. It had everything to do with how I was treated when I got there. So there was two things that I started doing, actually. Yes, I was extremely smart, because I loved education, I always loved learning. Not only did I not go to school, when I did go to school, I would position myself to learn what I needed to learn while I was absent. And so I would go, and the people that needed homework done or, you know, something like that, I would go and get their homework and do their homework for them. I used to do my best friend's homework all the time, but I did it because I wanted to learn what was going on when I wasn't there. And that's the reason why I was able to go back in on test day and still make straight A's, even though I wasn't there most of the time.
Right. And you know, we know when kids are delinquent from school, and you average 45 to 60 days not being in the school year, that usually they're doing other things that they shouldn't be. And you, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
did get involved with, you know, shoplifting, running with the wrong crowd, starting to, you know, sleep around with guys
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature. And, you know, I set you up a little bit as the show started, and, you know, you had a very wonderful, supportive mom. What did she notice that you had taken a turn in your behavior?
Well, she noticed my attitude changing, but she didn't address it as much because my mom was like, "Well, she's got good grades, you know." That at the end of the day, when you think about it, and you think about your children in school, that's about all you want is for them to get their education. And so it's like some of the other things, yeah, you know you don't want them in trouble, but if they got good grades, it's harder to believe that. And I always kept very good grades because I've always enjoyed my education. I love to learn. It's never left me. I love to read. I read all the time, read anything I can get my hands on. I'm really, really good. I'm a natural writer, and I became good at math. So those are the things that have carried me, and my love for education and learning about everything and absorbing this world around me. And I've been like that since a kindergartner, since I was started school. My love for that kept me with good education, but yes, did distract me. Yes, a lot of times I was doing these other things. Yes, I was doing drugs. Yes, I was sleeping around. Yes, I was doing a bunch of other stuff I didn't have any business. However, I had purpose inside of me, and I can't say that everyone else has that.
Right. Well, you know, I think every person has purpose, and especially those who have a God connection, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But the thing that was key is that you clearly had not found your purpose yet, and you didn't know what it was. And your mom,
right,
you know, she saw you as being responsible. You know, she worked late. You had a car, because this is the South. You guys can have cars like when you're 12, 15 years old, and here in New York, we can't have one until we're between 18 and 21. But, you know, you were already handling certain things on your own, and I guess her perception was, you know, she can handle it in terms of, you know, not thinking that the things that she was hearing were as bad as they were. So here you are, you're in these risky behaviors, and consequences start to arise. What were some of the things that started to come out of your behaviors as you continued in them?
Consequences, yes, I got sent to juvenile, got kicked out of school, you know, those type of things. And, you know, I remember going to juvenile the first time and just crying the whole time. And the lady called my mom and told her, she's not a bad kid, she's just depressed. She is depressed. She cried in here the whole time. And they said, just come get her. And that's what my mom did. Why? I was so depressed, probably because of all the crap I was going through at school. And it's not unlike kids to be depressed. And you think, like, if you're a kid, what do you have to be depressed about? At that time in my life, self-esteem and finding out who I was and developing that character was a big thing. And being accepted by others was very important, too. And love, and having love. I was the only child. And so to have to develop my character in a world that's being cruel to me and I don't have anyone else, it depressed me beyond words.
Well said, well said. And I oftentimes we really don't think that young people can have those emotions and that they're being impacted by that. But truthfully, the research has shown that little kids, even before they're verbal, can really absorb what's going around them in the world. So
right.
You know, you were in prison twice, you were in rehab twice, you did.
I was in rehab once.
Once, okay. And, you know, that is what we're talking about when we, you know, start to talk about the vicious cycle, a young person getting involved, you know, with the system, so to speak. And you have such, I think, a poignant story that really shows what it is for a young person to kind of get in the system and think to themselves, you know, I'm going to turn my life around. And then it's like bang, 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 and you just can't seem to get out of it, and you found your way out. But talk to us about that period of time when you tried to straighten up your life, and you were in a period of probation, I believe. So talk to us about that.
And what happened. So I had straightened up. I had decided, okay, you know, I'm sick of hurting my mom and blah, blah, blah. And we had both went to counseling. I had a year of juvenile probation. So we did all that, made it off probation, you know, at midnight, at one night, and I was all excited. I had my car, and I'm like, hey, you know, my license had been suspended, and you know, as a condition of probation. But when midnight passed, you know, hey, I could drive, and I'm okay. Well, that night it was raining, and I drove a Mustang. I had a new Mustang, and I'm going down the street, you know, minding my own business, not speeding, and Mustangs are rear-wheel drive. So I was easing. I was coming out of an intersection. The light had just turned green, and I thought what I was easing on the intersection, which what I found out in the Mustang is no such thing, and hit, I guess, a little bit of a water puddle, and my car fishtailed and donutted in the middle of the street. Now, there was nobody on the street coming, but of all the cars to be coming out of nowhere, a police light had popped up. And so I straightened back up, and I was like, oh, crap, you know, straightened back up, get the car back in line, thank God I didn't wreck and kill nobody, and keep going. Well, this police saw me, apparently, and comes and pulls me over, you know, no big deal. You know, he pulls me over, I'm like, hi, sir, my name is Crystal White, this is blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm excited because I'm off probation, and I'm like, yes. Comes a hope that my license, I had, the time had lapsed, meaning that I had done my period of time with it suspended, but there were two things that I was supposed to do in the state of Texas to technically reinstate my license that I didn't do because I really didn't know. And so I got pulled over, and at 8 o'clock the day after I got off probation, I got arrested for a brand-new adult charge, driving while license suspended, and it was purely an accident. And at that time, I threw my hands up and said, okay, you know, this is what life is going to be like when I try to get it right, and I'm explaining to this police officer, sir, I did not know. You know, I did not know I had to do this. I just got off probation at midnight. I'm sure you can find it somewhere. Got arrested anyway. You know, and found myself just kind of saying, you know, screw this, screw the world, I don't care, I'm done. I've done the best that I can here, and apparently my best isn't good enough. And, you know, before I knew it, you know, I was more vulnerable and susceptible to getting on drugs and things of that nature. Now, I did graduate high school. I was voted most likely to succeed. And, you know, within 6 months, I had a criminal background, all because, you know, I was so angry at the fact that I had gotten pulled over for doing a donut on accident. Then he told the judge that I was doing donuts in the middle of the street, like I was doing it purposely. And even if I was, is that worth a brand-new charge? Come on now, you know, really? But it's okay, because it's all right. You know, I had to forgive and forget, but, you know, at that time, it angered me. It sent me out of control. It hurt my feelings because I wanted to do good so bad, and I knew I was better than that. And I was thrown into a system and a category of people that did not fit who I truly was.
Wow.
And I had to adapt to that lifestyle. And I, you know, but it was discouraging because here I am already dealing with stuff from high school, trying to establish myself as an individual in the community, and then I get in trouble all behind a donut in the middle of the street. Like, and you know, I know a lot of life is what happens to us, you know, and I mean, not what happens to us, but our attitude towards what happens to us. But that's a hard thing for a young person that's already struggling. They're not going to have the attitude to take anything correctly. They already are not thinking correctly because you have so much junk coming at you from the rest of the world. So to say it's your attitude, yeah, it is their attitude that's the problem. But how are we as a society fixing it? And we'll get to that in a little bit. We're going to stick with the script and the story.
Right, and I want people to understand that what happened to you, and I'm sure most listeners get it, right, that is not an isolated thing, that many cities in this country make a lot of their money through traffic violations of some sort. And when you stop someone mm-hmm. for one thing, it can rack up and rack up. And depending on what's going on, whether they have the money to pay or not, that can lead to an arrest. And once you do that, you can end up losing your job, and it just becomes a snowball effect, a vicious cycle, if you will,
right.
of happening. I'm curious to know, though, where were you in terms of faith and having a relationship with God? Where did that come into play in your life?
Well, I never lost my connection with God. I lost my connection with the rest of the world. God forgives. People don't. That simple. It's that simple. And I'm not a rebel, but I do not like being told what, you know, that I can't do something or don't do something. And it's not at all, once again, it has nothing to do with rebellion. It's just that unless you can give me a good reason why I can't or I shouldn't, then I'm going to go find out because I'm curious. A very curious, very, very, very curious personality. That's it. It's nothing personal. I am curious. And I love it. I think my curiosity has served me well. But at the same time, my curiosity and the curiosity of so many, when you tell people don't do something, they go and do it anyway. So why say that is what I started learning. You know, I needed to be told what I could do, what I should do, and what I can do with my life, and then how to do it. I needed to be put in a position with people that really knew how to do this and to get me to the next level. But because I didn't see that and I didn't know that and I didn't have that exposure, I didn't have true freedom. You know, I was a prisoner in my mind. I was a prisoner in my circumstance in my mind. And all I really wanted was the freedom to be, to do, and to create. And that lack of freedom, and then the freedom that I did have and the direction it pointed me, just was a disaster. But I've realized that, you know, love and purpose is all that I had to hold on to then. I had a theory about faith. Either you're going to worry or you're going to have faith, but you can't do both. And so I tended to always have faith. I had faith when I was out there doing illegal activities, and they worked, you know, and you know, no matter what I did, I typically did not harm other people. I was not a offender that was malicious or vicious to other people. I was the type that did other stuff, you know, stuff people were already doing anyway. If you're already doing drugs, then me selling them to you is not hurting you. You're already doing it. And things of that nature, sex crimes. If I'm selling my body, then, you know, and I know that I don't have any diseases and I'm making people protect themselves, they're going to sleep around and buy that kind of, into that kind of thing anyway. So I'm not hurting you. And what I'm saying, I was not purposely hurting anybody. I wasn't beating people up. I wasn't robbing stores and you know, shoplifting a skirt, you know what I'm saying? But I was not violent in my endeavor. And so I always went into them with faith. Hey, it'll work. If not, then I'll get caught, but it'll be all right, you know. And that same faith carried me through everything else the rest of my life. But I always have had a lot of faith, and I could usually visualize the thinking. It was in a negative connotation, but I was thinking positively about what I was doing negatively. That makes sense.
Okay, and that's the key point right there, and I think that's where God's grace and mercy comes in, because he does understand what we understand, and he does understand our hearts and our motivations, whereas people looking from the outside go, well, how is she saying that she's praying and believing in God, and she's doing X, Y, and Z? And that's where you say, you know, you lose the connection with people, but it's possible
mm-hmm.
to keep that connection with God, because, you
know,
God does not...
with God.
I say that
mm-hmm.
again?
I said, yes, you'll never lose your connection with God unless you just stop praying and cut him off. That God is with you everywhere you go. I don't care where you are. Our kingdom of God is within. And so I knew God was with me, and I knew that was it. God is with me, and he forgives me, and he's directing and leading and guiding me, you know, I guess. God allowed some things to happen to me, but God never left me. And I never lost that connection. I think sometimes we make God's love for us conditional, because our love for other people is conditional. God's love is unconditional. God doesn't say, I love you as long as you're not sinning. So he doesn't care if I'm in sin. Other people do. God doesn't. That's how I can say I walk with God, even in my trials and tribulations. Sin is sin, true, but God is, we're like his children. So he will consequent us, and he's going to still love us anyway, just like our parents do. And if that's the case, then his love is never conditional. It's never as long as we are a certain way or we do a certain thing. And I always have believed that.
Right, and I'll definitely expound on that more. Our time is going so quickly, and I just want to make sure that we cover everything. And you said something very keen in there, and that is the understanding that he had a purpose for your life. And at that time, though, it was more in the I think he does category. You know, it's something you were questioning and pondering. Short, in brief, in 2 minutes, just talk to us about this situation, because you said you had kind of given up, lost hope. But you had a friend come and offer you a trip to his home in Nepal. Talk to us about that experience.
Yeah, so I had a friend. I had attended college at UTA, had class with this crazy Nepalese guy that used to have a crush on me, but he was more or less my friend. They're very, very respectful people. And he said, you know, come to my country. I want to just take you to meet my family. I want them to meet Americans. Okay, you know. I'm like, are you serious? You know, and at that time I had lost hope, and I was like, hey, I'm going to die anyway, so might as well ride this thing so wheels fall off.
And you were on probation,
he said,
right?
What?
You were on probation, right?
I was on probation, but I had violated. I was in the process of violating. They just hadn't issued a warrant for me yet.
Okay.
And so he bought my plane tickets and everything, got my passport, and took off and went to Nepal. So I left over the Pacific Ocean, landed in Taipei, Taiwan, Bangkok, Thailand, stayed 7 days in Kathmandu, Nepal, the most beautiful, wonderful trip I've ever been in my life, was treated like pure royalty the whole time I was there. It was nothing that I wanted that I couldn't have, had all the protection I needed, but until I got homesick, and so he bought me new tickets and flew me back over the Atlantic Ocean. So I came back over Qatar, Frankfurt, Germany, and landed in Newark, New Jersey, and then hit Dallas. So at 19, in the midst of my dilemmas and my all my hopelessness, I got a free trip around the world.
And while you were there, you got a revelation about God and his plan for you.
I said, you've got to be special. People don't have stories like this. I mean, for what reason did I come to this beautiful grand country and these wonderful people treat me so nicely? I mean, it was no malice. It was no hate. It wasn't any greed. It was just about, hi, you know, welcome to our country. Isn't it beautiful? It was straight out of a history book. It just, everything about it, it was just seemed like surreal. Like, I didn't think people still lived like that. And the time was 2005. And it felt like, you know, I'm seeing women walk down the streets with vegetables in their wicker baskets on top of their heads in their beautiful satin wraps. And I'm thinking, and I see this climate and this land terrain that's beautiful with rolling hills and grass, and the Himalayan mountain range was pretty much framing the entire country. And it surrounded
it. And it really just opened you back up to God and his plan for you, and you just realizing that you do have purpose. You know, even though you don't know what it is yet, you have it. And so when we come back, we're going to jump right into that. And we're also going to talk to people who are listening to really understand if you're caught in a system yourself, you listen up and you will find out how you can break that cycle.
I was lost, but you came and found. Left your throne, thinking about me. You bled and died to show me mercy. You gave your all.
awesome God we serve. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayne. And Crystal, I can tell you're probably listening to the show in the background. It's causing an echo. Just turn the volume down on that a little bit there.
Okay.
You know, I just wanted to say before we go in, and again, our time is zooming through, but we are going to get to the good stuff because that's what people are waiting for. But I have to do this and let you know what's beautiful about Crystal's character as a young girl who grew up learning about God and made a commitment to God at an early age, that even through this time, experiential time of, you know, rebellion, as she said in her own words, she was able to keep her hold on to God. And what's amazing is she was not yet mature in the faith. And you know, God doesn't want us to stay in us where we're not growing and maturing in him, because he does have a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and give us a hope and a future. And so there are things that we have to go through that grow us and strengthen us. But he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And just like the song says, we are undeserving, but he's the one who is worthy, and because of him, he makes us worthy. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouths Jesus Christ is Lord, that we shall be saved. And that's where you start. That's where the relationship begins. And from there, he will take you step by step, glory to glory. And so there's a whole waft of stuff that you guys need to know, and you will find that information out in her book. And her book is crucial because it also tells you not only how she got off, but how she's been able to help other people reestablish their lives. So I want to just jump right forward now because, you know, you're an author and you've written these books to help people, and we see what's going on in our world today. As I referenced, you know, Ferguson and so much things happening in our world that it's all in the same vein, really, that's really pointing the finger at the system to say this needs to be fixed. But you actually have a very interesting take on that, that it's not the system but the person. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, the system makes it hard to reintegrate, and instead of us trying to change it, we should just change our attitude about the people that come out of it. I mean, that's about as simple, and because what happens is that defeats the system. If we stop mistreating people that come home after they've made mistakes, then the system won't be able to keep anybody because everybody will have something to do. We can't say, oh, it's your fault, but then we close our doors to the people. We won't give them jobs. We won't let them have an apartment and live anywhere they want to. And then we expect them to stay free. That has nothing to do with the system. That's everything to do with us. And so if we as a community, as a society, come together and say, hey, we're going to accept this group and this demographic of people, even though they've made mistakes, and we make more things, create things for them to do that are not harmful to our communities, that won't affect us, then we won't have people going into the system. Everybody will be too busy. So my proposal has been to the system, and now that I work with the system and helping them to establish programs that truly help people, A, stop going to jail, and B, stop coming back if you do go, I have always pointed people in the direction of purpose-driven living on a daily basis. And what that means is finding out what you are here for and going and doing that thing, having the courage to continue the wherewithal to stand on it even when it's difficult. The more you follow your purpose and your bliss, the more that you will find yourself becoming the person you need to be to accomplish that. And in the process, all of the other things will go away. Now, yes, some things are painful, some things take time and all of that, but this too shall pass while you're busy. So, you know,
well,
I realized – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering because, you know, you had that period of time where you said, you know, it was so discouraging to you, you're like, forget it, I'm just going to go. If being on the straight and narrow is not going to work, then I'm just going to live this way. How do you get past that kind of chip on your shoulder or victim mentality or whatever you want to call it? How do you get past that to the point of what you're saying, you know, to do and to embrace and to walk into things that you can do?
Well, first off, I had to take some responsibility. that chip on my shoulder came from blaming and playing a victim a lot of times. And as soon as I took responsibility for my future, I realized I had to take responsibility for my past, and that included my mistakes as well. So I wanted to have control over my future, but in order to have control over my future, I needed to have control over my life as it was. In addition to that, I needed to take ownership and own my past. And when I was able to do those things, I was able to step over that step and keep going. And I think that in itself comes from a mindset. You've got to get tired where you start looking for other things and opportunities. And once you see them, you know, you can't get macked in overalls and look like hard work. You know, you just take opportunities as they come. And I think that was very important and very key, was taking ownership and responsibility for my life.
That's right on point there, because you have to get to that place of facing yourself. So now you've done that, and you're going out there and you're reentering and you're handing out your resumes, but it just seems like it's not working, and it's easier for someone to think, well, let me just go back to the hustle. What would you say to them?
Well, go back to the hustle. You're right. Just don't go back to the illegal one. Your talent, whatever it is you can do right now. If it's fixing hair, do hair. If it's mowing yards, mow yards. If it's cutting hair, cut hair. If it's, you know, helping people cleaning houses, there are so many things people can do right now to generate capital that they just don't do. It's unreal. We have so much untapped talent. If you can draw, draw and sell your pictures. If you can write, write and sell your books. So what I started realizing was I've got to survive, but in addition to that, I've got to survive doing something I love. And if I want real control over my future, I have to find out what it is that I love, and I have to start doing that. And no matter how difficult it is, I have to continue.
So now you're really talking about taking the control and being an entrepreneur instead of depending on others to give you a job.
Right, right. And that's what I do, and that's what I've been helping others to do. In addition to my programs, my nonprofit organization, one of my companies, that's what we do. We create entrepreneurship programs tailored, custom-made towards entities and organizations that want one and do not have one in place. Then the first program that I designed, though, was my own. So we are getting ready to launch an all-online entrepreneurship school that cushions the failure and the fears that some people have in place as it relates to starting their own endeavor. So there's a lot of things that I have put in place to help facilitate this mindset that I'm encouraging everyone to try. You know, I'm not going to say, hey, try this, do this, and not give you a way how to do it or tell you how or give you some solutions. So these have been my solutions, and it's called Target Evolution.
And you're listening to someone who's lived through it. They're not giving you theory. They're not giving you textbook learning. This is someone who's lived it and who has practiced what they are preaching. So please tell the people how they can find you, how can they find your books, how can they find out more about Target Evolution Entrepreneurship Institute.
Mm-hmm. My books and everything is available, crystalvictoria.com, and spelled CRYSTALV, as in Victor, or Victory, ICTORIA. Victoria.com, crystalvictoria.com. You can Google me. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, .com/BossLadyDiary. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at DiaryBoss. So reach out to me, connect with me. You can find out more information about Target Evolution. The website is teeibiz.com, or just go to targetevolution.org. You can also go to my website and click on the link to the school and my nonprofit from my site on the info tab.
Wow. You know, it's interesting, even your name, Crystal Victoria, it's like there definitely was purpose, you know, even in your name. And I see that. I know your last word before we head out for the night, talk to me about when your relationship with God increased and intensified and just got stronger.
My relationship with God increased when I realized I had to fulfill a purpose. And a lady told me, if your purpose doesn't make you hit your knees every day, it's not big enough. And so I started reaching for bigger and better dreams, and I had to hit my knees all the time. But I realized in doing so that the sky is not the limit, because there are footprints on the moon. And for those that don't know, we have a satellite that's getting ready to be orbiting Pluto next year. We are on the edge of the Milky Way galaxy. There are no limits. There are no limits. Our president is black. We have some of the most amazing people in our world today doing great things. Everyone has a public voice and can be famous via YouTube or social networking. Nothing is impossible anymore. The word itself says, I'm possible. And so I just want to encourage everyone to reach for the moon, reach for the stars, go for it, and you know, live the life, take responsibility for your life, and help others along the way.
Amen. You heard it here on Don't Give Up Radio. Stay with us. Next week we are going to have a little soul for your soul for you with a wonderful entrepreneur who's going to share with us how she started her vision and what it can do. Thank you so much for being our guest today, Crystal.
Thank you, Jackie, and y'all have a good night.
Okay. Well, you know, there's going to be a day when we will be face-to-face with the Lord, and we can only imagine what that can be and what that will be like. But in the meantime, we want to live our lives and walk in such a way that when we get there, we will just be able to hear his wonderful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Can you only imagine just standing before the King? Oh, I can only imagine what by your side. I could only live.